Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 400, stanzas 1, 3, and 7. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah, O my soul, Jehovah, praise. I will sing in the glorious praises of my God through all my days. 1, 3, and 7 of Psalter 400. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the second epistle of Peter, the first chapter, 2 Peter, chapter 1. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. To Peter, chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So far, reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer the family of Mr. Brent Rosendahl, who has passed away. Also, Mrs. William Gulliker, who must receive surgery this coming Friday. Reverend Hoffman, the elder Reverend Hoffman in the Netherlands, is also very ill. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou who hast given unto us Thy word, Thy servant Peter did also receive within him that desire that after he would be no more, and that that word may be kept in remembrance for the church to come. And we with our children are recipients thereof. Lord, it is a great privilege, not given unto so many in this world, and therefore it is also a great responsibility, Lord, that we may be given a little impression thereof in this day, that we may not, with all our blessings, in the end of our life, still be separated from Thee, who art the true and the living God, and who callest unto us time after time. Why will ye die? Thou who hast given a way that it is possible to come again into Thy blessed communion, a way which we despise by nature. Or we need to be taught in order that that way may become precious also in our own eyes, and for our own great personal need that we do not see and do not feel of ourselves. Lord, we ask it of Thee once again in this afternoon hour, that Thou may open our poor blind eyes, that we may be given to see what is the most important in our life, that we may flee those things that stand in our way, and that especially we ourselves, in our great pride and sin, in the upholding of ourselves, may be stripped, that we may be emptied from vessel to vessel, that that which indeed stands in the way may be taken out of the way, and that we may come to that place of Thy servant, where we read in that prison house that he learned to know that Thou art God. And there he learned to bow his knees. And there he learned to humble himself before Thee. And Thou didst hear from heaven Thy dwelling place, even one who was so unworthy, one who was so guilty, one who was so filthy and polluted. O Lord, give unto us then also to storm that same throne of grace, even in the last days in this world, before that time comes, where Thou wilt return again to judge the quick and the dead. There is but a short time that is left, The devil seeks whom he may devour, if possible, even thy own elect. Lord, we are deceitful creatures, even within our own hearts. And therefore, we are such an easy prey to him. Lord, we ask of thee, wilt thou put him away, even in this afternoon hour, that he may not be able to come up with us in thy house of prayer, but that thou would extend thy protecting care over us, that thy spirit may give thy word free course among us, that it may go from heart to heart, and that thy spirit may quicken unto that new life that is so necessary, and before that we die. Lord, do it for thy own name's sake. Take reasons out of thyself and out of thy dear Son, who art so worthy to be glorified in all thy redemptive work. Oh, it is a wisdom that will be magnified to a never-ending eternity. Lord, may it be also by us and by our dear children, that thou would work as thou didst in the days of our forefathers, that once again that spirit may go forth, look upon thy own people. Oh, free them also, that they may speak of thy wondrous ways, that it may be heard even in the midst of us as a congregation, that thy reviving work may stir up the work of thy own hands, and that thy people may be given to trust in thee. Lord, wilt thou be with all those that are afflicted. When we have heard that some have also lost a beloved father and grandfather in this day, Lord, may thou be on their right and left hand also, and may thou comfort where man is not able to comfort and give, that in all these things thy word may prick the heart, and that there may be fruit upon thy dealings within our lives. Also thy servant, who has become old and is so very sick. Oh, if then he may still be among his family in this day, Lord, may thou remember him in mercy, and may thou give that he may also in the last part of his life, that he may receive much of thy felt presence and thy nearness, that the fears even of that last enemy may be taken away, and that thou may receive him unto thyself. Lord, there is no worthiness in him more than of any one of us, but wilt thou do it, and wilt thou give him to look upon thy only Son? And wilt thou remember him and all that are about him in mercy? Also, look thou upon her from our midst that needs to receive surgery in this coming week. Lord, thou knowest the fears of her heart. Oh, that thou may give her a little quietness under it. And may thou give the doctors wisdom that all things may go well for the body. And may thou bless this way also unto her, her husband, and her children. Lord, wilt thou look upon all the children and the youth of the congregation? Oh, do instruct them. And to give them also to enter into that warfare with sin and with iniquity, and that they may be kept by thee, that thou would put a fence, a wall about them, and that thou would grant them much discernment even in the days of their youth, and that they may desire the things of thy Holy Spirit, of thy day, and of thy blessed service. Wilt thou look upon all those that rule and reign over us? Wilt thou give them also a little impression of thy existence, of thy law, of thy justice, and that thou may guide them in all decisions and all law making, and may thou give a bowing before thy footstool in the midst of this great country. Lord, wilt thou look on all thy truly sent servants, send more servants into thy vineyard? Wilt thou give that men may be wrought upon also in the days that we are living, and that thou would give that many must be still called out of nature's darkness into thy marvelous light? Be with all that are in the prisons. Give true repentance. Give justice. Wilt thou deliver those that are innocently condemned? Wilt thou look upon all that are oppressed and afflicted in this world? Lord, may thou stand by them to give comfort, to give assurance, and to give a looking up unto thee in the midst of all that they must suffer, and that thou may thyself speak unto them those comforts that can come from God alone. Wilt thou look upon us again in this afternoon hour when we are called to bring this portion of thy word and also that which we may receive of our fathers? Lord, we may acknowledge thee that thou hast preserved it yet amongst us. Oh, that thou may now open it also for our understanding and also for the need of our poor souls, that we with all that we have received from our fathers may not miss that working of thy Spirit that thou hast given unto them, but that it may be evident in the midst of us also. Lord, forgive all of our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 271, stanzas 1, 2, and 3, of mercy and of justice. My thankful song shall be, O Lord, in joyful praises my song shall rise to thee. Within my house I purpose to walk in wisdom's way. O Lord, I need thy presence. How long wilt thou delay? The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 271, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. congregation, by a door, we have entrance. By a door, we may go in and we may go out. The kingdom of heaven also has a door. Did the Lord ever show to you what that door is? The Lord Jesus Christ has himself said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out, and he shall find pasture." That is the only entrance that there is into that kingdom of heaven. There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. We read in the book of Genesis that the Lord smote the inhabitants of the city of Sodom with blindness, so that they were not able to find the door. How many of God's children also are unable to see the door of the kingdom of heaven? There is a reason that our fathers have expressed over and over again that Christ, he is the most hidden person for his church. Bunyan has also expressed that same thing in his Pilgrim's Progress, when he has asked as evangelist that pilgrim, "Do you see yonder wicket gate?" That man has felt in his life a great need. Then he is crying out because of that need, but he cannot see that door. He has to say no. And that minister has for him direction. He cannot give him that sight of that door. No, though he himself is able to see it, then he is not able to give that sight unto his fellow man. But he is giving him direction there to keep himself in that word of God and using those means of grace, that in this way he may also come to find that door, that entrance into that kingdom of God. Those doors which lead to very important places in this world, they also have doorkeepers. That is a person and that is standing at that door, that he is allowing some to enter and others are not permitted to enter. Thus, that door has on it a lock, and that lock can only be opened by a key. And that key that is in the hand of that doorkeeper, in whose hands are the keys to that door, to the kingdom of heaven. Those keys, they have been given to the servants of the Lord. We read of Eliakim. He was a treasurer, the steward in the palace, and that the government was committed to his hand. We read of him and the key of the house of David. Will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. And we wish to consider with the instruction of our forefathers this power of the keys from Lord's Day 31, and this afternoon only questions 83 and 84. Lord's Day 31, questions 83 and 84. Question 83. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? Answer: the preaching of the holy gospel and Christian discipline or excommunication out of the Christian church. By these two, the kingdom of heaven is opened to believers and shut against unbelievers. Question 84. How is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut? By the preaching of the holy gospel. Answer: thus, when according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits. And on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers, and such as do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation, so long as they are unconverted, according to which testimony of the gospel, God will judge them both in this and in the life to come. So far our Lord's Day. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. First, to whom the keys are entrusted. And second, the key of the preaching of the word. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. First, to whom they are entrusted. And then this afternoon, the key of the preaching of the word. Congregation, what a blessed subject we may speak about in this afternoon. That is about an entrance. That is not an entrance to a great feast in this world. That is not an entrance into some presidential banquet or the most desirable place seen in the eyes of men in this world, but that we may speak this afternoon about an entrance into the very kingdom of heaven. That is an entrance into that true church. That is an entrance into the fold of that flock of God. That is in very entrance into the blessed communion with God. Is that now our desire? Or have we even no desire? Maybe even no thought of such an entrance into the kingdom of God? And if it is our desire, if we say it is different, and then we ask, why is that your desire? Is it because that we can find no happiness in this world? Is it because that we desire those same benefits, that same happiness that God's people have when they die? Or do we have a love for the King of that kingdom? Do we desire the blessed communion with that King of that kingdom? That kingdom has an entrance. It has a door. We spoke of that. And now the keys to that door are given, we said, into the hands of his servants. Where does that expression come from? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. That is not from men. That is out of the Holy Scriptures. They are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They are the words of Christ to Peter, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Thus the Lord Jesus speaks by way of a metaphor, a likeness. And he speaks to Peter about being a steward. Steward is one who has the keys of that house to which he is in charge. You know that, boys and girls. Joseph, he was the steward also of a great house. And he had control of everything. A steward. But this is now a different house. This is not the house of a great man in the earth. No, this is the house of God. This is not even the earthly house of God, but this is that heavenly, that spiritual house of God. Thus, the officers of the church, they are given a certain power. That is not the power of the sword. The power of the sword belongs to the earthly magistrate, and he has a responsibility to wield that power. That is also from the Lord. And he also must give an account of that authority that is given unto him from above. But we read about God's servants, and that they are given a power to bind, we read, and to loose. Whosoever sins, ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins, ye retain, they are retained. Thus, entering in through that door, entering into that kingdom of God that has everything to do with the forgiveness of sins. That, of course, can only be because we can never enter into that place where God dwelleth and when we still have sin. This power that is so very greatly abused by the Roman Catholic Church, wherein the Pope is claiming to himself a supposed power which he receives as the successor of the Apostle Peter. But Peter's congregation had no more power and no different power than was given to every one of his disciples. And the church that we have read, that was built upon this rock, that was not built upon Peter, but it was built upon the confession of Peter. And what did Peter say? That thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is now the foundation upon which that true church of God is built. Thus, that supposed power that is claimed by the Roman Catholic Church, that is not coming honestly out of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. This power that is given into the hands of the servants of God from the Lord Himself is denied completely by the remonstrants. When the remonstrants, and they were finally thrown out of the church, then they have gone to the government, and they have flattered the rulers in this world to make them to believe that they had a power, that they possessed a power within the true church of God. That they therefore had to make decisions. But the power of the government that is not within that true church of God. No, they have their own power from Him that is within that civil government. They indeed have a duty that is toward the church of God. That they may be as a father, as a mother, to protect that church from the evils that can come against it. But when it comes to the church itself, then the civil government has no rule within that church to say to us, for example, boys and girls, and that we may send a call to this minister, and that we may not send a call to another minister. No, that is not the calling of the civil government. To whom does the Lord Himself give that power of the keys within His church? That is, to the stewards of His church. That is, to His ministers and to the elders. The first key, that is the preaching of the word. The preaching of the word, that is a key to open that door unto the kingdom of heaven. And that is a key that is given only to those whom the Lord is calling, that not anyone may go, but only those whom the Lord is calling and sending into His vineyard. How shall they preach except that they be sent? May the Lord give that more servants may be sent into His ministers, into His vineyard. The second key we read, that is the key of Christian discipline. That is then not the duty of every member within the church. Similarly, as it is not the duty of every citizen of a country to wield the sword and to put to death in his own person the person of a murderer. No, then we would have chaos in this world. But that is a duty that belongs to the earthly magistrate. And therefore, that duty of church discipline, that is now a duty that is given especially unto the elders of the church. We can read in the form for the ordination of ministers and of elders, of deacons, how that there are two sorts of elders within the church. There are those that labor in word and doctrine. Thus, a minister is called also an elder, but he in the first place has the task of teaching. Thus, he is called a teaching elder. The other elders, and they are set especially in that task of ruling within the congregation. Thus, that key of Christian discipline that belongs in a special way unto them. And it is by these two keys that that kingdom of heaven is both opened and shut. Congregation, what a responsibility. What a responsibility to hold a key to the door of heaven. That is, that it has to do with the eternal welfare of each and every person within the congregation. Then a responsibility that man himself can never live up unto. And then what Aaron's and hers are necessary to hold up the office bearers within the congregation. We wish to consider in this afternoon, especially that key of the preaching of the word, and next time, the Lord willing, of Christian discipline. Then, congregation, we may say, what a wonder. What a wonder in the first place that the Lord has given keys to that kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? What does that mean? That the keys, young people, that the keys to that door, that entrance to that kingdom of God, they are given to persons in this world. Do you know what that means? It means that that door that is not yet finally shut, it means that there is a way that a man still in our time may enter into that kingdom of heaven. If any man enter in by that door of the sheepfold, he shall go in and he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Thus there is an entrance. And yet how often do we act as if there is no entrance? As if there is no way. We say the Lord elects his people. Then there is no possibility that I can be saved. Congregation, there is a door. Then there is no man in this world that may be rightly without hope. No, there is a door. And there are also keys to that door. And the Lord has given those that door, and he has given those keys to men in this world. Thus, in the first place, it is not a hopeless thing to enter there. How is it that those keys must be used? How is it that that key of the preaching of the Word of God must be used? That is what our fathers address. How is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut by the preaching of the Holy Gospel? Thus, when according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits. Thus, congregation, it is not in the personal declaration of an individual's forgiveness of his sin. Thus, it is not in a minister, in an elder, saying to this person or to that person, that I have the keys to the kingdom of heaven and I will let you in. That is now the abuse of those keys by the Roman Catholic Church. It is also not in the declaration of the promises of God in a general manner to everyone in the congregation, and an invitation unto you to just take of those promises which actually belong unto you. That is deceptive. That is to pretend that we have a key that we do not. Thus, our fathers are explaining how that this key is to be used. And what do? They speak about faith. Namely, they speak about all believers. What is a believer? A believer is one in whom has been planted faith, because without faith, it is impossible to believe. Thus, faith, that is a gift of God. That faith that needs to be planted in our heart, then we shall become a believer. We know that many will speak about this believing in a very different way, as if that it is in the power of man, even when we will not say it is so, but then it is possible that we are preaching as if that it is lying in the power of man to take or to not take. Faith is not a condition of salvation. It is not as if we must have faith in order that we might be saved as a condition. No, faith is a fruit. Faith is a fruit. It is a fruit of the grace of God. When a man receives faith in its essence, that is only upon regeneration. And thus, faith, all believing, that is true believing, a saving believing, that is all flowing out of that gift of God. Our fathers speak about this in the Canons of Dort. And they say to us And that before that act of God in regeneration, it is impossible for any person to exercise a single spiritual act, which faith is. Thus, faith that is a gift flowing out of that grace of God. There's a people who feel something of that helplessness when it comes to believing. Is that also us? We read of that father of that lunatic. He says, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Oh, that faith did lie in his heart. Oh, he could hardly believe that that faith was in his heart. But he saw so much of the unbelief. Oh, is it really possible that the Lord Jesus is able to cure my son? Oh, is the Lord Jesus really willing to cure him? Did he have faith? If he had no faith, he had never gone there. But you understand everything that has come against that man. And so that people with such a feeling realization, an impression of the impossibility of the exercise of that faith that has been planted by the Lord, and yet at that same time, those moments in their life that they may know that they must believe, those moments wherein they are driven out of that deep need, that they may approach unto that throne of grace and there to seek what they cannot receive in their own strength. Oh, that is the experience in their own life of the Holy Spirit granting that exercise of that true saving faith to a wretched and an undone creature. This is now the people to whom that kingdom of heaven is opened by the key of the preaching of the Word of God. That is not the work of man. No, that is the work of God. No one can give it. And no one can take it away. Congregation, was that kingdom of God ever opened unto you? We read of that opening in the Word of God. We read many instances and examples of the opening of that kingdom of heaven. To whom is that opened? That is opened, we read in the Word of God, to publicans and sinners. That is opened to the poor in spirit. It is opened to the meek. It is opened to those that hunger and that thirst after righteousness. What a surprise that was to the Pharisees and the scribes. They did not think so. Oh, what a surprise that was to those publicans and sinners. They did not think so either. But then the Lord instructed them all, "I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Oh, what an opening. What an opening was received there by those wretched sinners into that kingdom of heaven. To whom is that kingdom opened by the preaching of the word? It is open to prodigal sons. They thought it was closed. It would have been their own fault if it was forever closed. And yet, in their deep need, they cannot but seek that entrance into that kingdom of heaven. And to the great humbling of their heart, then they may experience in the preaching of the word that kingdom of heaven that is also opened unto them. Oh, to whom is that kingdom opened? It's that it is opened unto him that is not worthy that the Lord should come under his roof. It is opened unto a bride who thought it was closed for her because she was black. All opened. Opened by the key of the preaching of the word of God. Congregation, could we be in your midst? Then the instrument in the hand of God for that opening of that door into heaven by the preaching of the word of God. How does the Lord do that? He opens that door when he shows to a person what that way of free and sovereign grace is. Then he is first opening to a person what that pit is, wherein they have brought themselves because of their sin, because of their deep fall. He first convinces them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He first brings them to an end of all their own power. He first shows them a closed door to heaven. An angel standing in that garden door with a flaming sword that is turning every way. Because they have cut off by their sin that entrance again into that blessed communion with God. And there the Lord is giving light into a new covenant. When that old covenant is broken, that the Lord is giving light into that blessed gospel. And what the Lord means when he says that in due time, Christ came for the ungodly. Oh, that key that is opening that door of the kingdom of heaven. In the preaching of that blessed Son of God who has hung himself upon that awful cross, who was willing to go in the way that his Father has sent him to pay the full price for all the sin and all the transgression of every one of his own people. Oh, that kingdom of heaven, that door is opened when that blessed mediatorial work that is opened as the light that is shining in the dark prison house for those who cannot see a way that they may return unto God anymore. Oh, that door, those keys, and they are opening that door that is that is, congregation, the most unforgettable moment in the life of a man. It is understandable. It is understandable that a person, when he is come into such a wretched condition that sometimes he says, "How did I ever get here?" That he does not even know. And it is true that that moment of regeneration that may not be known in the life of a person, it may have taken place in the days of their youth. But that moment, when a man sees nothing but a closed door, and that he is forever and forever expecting to be on the outside, and then the Lord opens that door, then you can be sure that you will not forget that moment the rest of your life. When the Lord is opening a way outside of myself in all my impossibility, oh, then I see that Son of God as I have never seen him before in my life. You understand that is now the moment that that Son of God, he becomes so precious to us, because it is by him that that door is opened. No, that door that is not opened by us, that door is opened by him. A minister, he is given the key to do what? To preach the words of Christ. That is not our word. And we only, if we may preach what he has said. And it is because it is he that has said it, that it is opening that door of heaven. No, if it was because we said it, it would never open the door. Because such a man, such a woman, such a boy, such a girl, they understand so well that they cannot help themselves and that no man can help them. Or maybe they have gone once to the minister, and that minister, he is not able to solve their case, and he is not able to give them what they need. But in the preaching of the word, and when it comes out of heaven itself, oh, then it is the key to the opening of that door of heaven. And thus it is not his servants, no, but it is Christ himself who will receive all the honor and all the glory. But there is also another side. Because we read that door that is not only opened, but that is also shut by that same preaching. Let us first sing Psalter 317. Stanzas 1 through 4, oh, praise the Lord, for he is good. Let all in heaven above and all his saints on earth proclaim his everlasting love. In my distress I called on God. In grace he answered me, removed my bonds, enlarged my place from trouble, set me free. 1 through 4 of Psalter 317. Thank you. And on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers, and such as do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation, so long as they remain, so long as they are unconverted, according to which testimony of the gospel, God will judge them both in this and in the life to come. Thus, unbelievers, who is an unbeliever, is one who has no faith. And what does he not believe? He does not believe the word of God. There are only two our fathers say. That is, believers and unbelievers. Not three. Not also churchgoers. But believers and unbelievers. An unbeliever does not believe the word of God. An unbeliever does not believe what God has written about our deep fall. That we have sinned against God. Or then we uphold ourselves. We refuse to be converted. We refuse to turn. Why? Because we do not see a need to turn. We don't believe it. No, even when we believe it in our mind with a historical faith, we don't believe it so that it has become a grief to us. And when this is true, then we also do not believe in Christ. Why should we? Where is then our need for Him if we can still uphold ourselves in our life? That is therefore an unbeliever. And in the faithful preaching of that word of God, what is declared to such, they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation. That is not our word. No, we bring to you what is written in that holy word of God. And what does it say there? Not that if we are unconverted and that we are not elect. If we are unconverted, we are reprobate. No. But it says that we stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation so long as they are unconverted. Thus, it is not a message of the gospel that is a despairing message. No, but it is a message that if we remain in that same way that we have been born, if nothing takes place in our life between the cradle and the grave, that we shall certainly go eternally lost. Thus, not that you despair, but that you repent, that we might learn to die before that we have to die, that we might learn to cry out, lost, lost, before that it is forever lost. Or what was that? For those five foolish virgins to stand outside of that door and there was no more preaching. The time of preaching that was done, that is that key that is no more in effect than it is not possible for a door to be opened anymore. Congregation, our fathers, they have made a distinction in the preaching between faith and unbelief. How necessary that then there is an explanation in the house of God continually about what that faith is, that we may know whether we are possessors of that true saving faith. Oh, ask the Lord to give us the wisdom and the Spirit of God that we may be given to lay out in truth the marks of that true people of the Lord. Bunyan spoke about those who climbed over the wall. Thus, as God's servant, and then he also has preached the same. He says, there are some that seem to be in, but they are not. But it is false. Why? Because they have never come through that door. They have come some other way. Where does he point to? He points back to the beginning. Look back in your life. Did you come in the right way? Did you come in through that door? Where is the beginning? Yes, that is in regeneration. We understand that regeneration is on the side of God, that place where men are entering in through that door into the kingdom of heaven. Yes. But Bunyan is actually not speaking about this door, but he is speaking about that wicked gate. Thus, that is that door that is Christ himself. That he is asking now, have you indeed come in to that kingdom of heaven? Through that door, has that door ever been opened to us in our life? That is the instruction of free and sovereign grace that I have learned not here but here. Free and sovereign grace given to the needy, given to the poor, given to the most destitute, given to the guilty, given to those who are sitting in the prison house. That is the instruction by way of experience in that blessed mediator for those who have cut themselves off from that God whom now they have come once again to love. Oh, that is the revelation of that blessed physician for those who are sick. Of that blessed surety for all those who are guilty. That is now the lifting of the beggar from that dunghill. That is now the taking from that horrible pit and that miry clay to set the feet upon a rock. Oh, that is a revelation of the blessed Son of God. I am the door. No, that door is not the forgiveness of sins in the court of the conscience of God's people. That is not the door. That is Bunyan's cross. But that door is where that faith, oh, that faith given and felt to be given in the experience of that people, when that faith is first permitted to take hold of that blessed mediator, even when it is by the smallest strength of an infant child, oh, then he receives life from the dead.
Then he receives light in all his darkness. Oh, then the way is opened where there was no way before in his life. Then he receives the promise of the gospel by a true faith. And it is these to whom that kingdom of heaven is opened in that preaching of the gospel. Do you think we need then to convince that person of something? We do not. Because the Lord has done so. Because that is what faith does. And when faith may take hold, even in the smallest way, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then man needs to say nothing anymore. Because in one moment, that closed door that has gone so wide open, and then the Lord is receiving all the honor and all the glory. Congregation, what a responsible task to hold in our hands the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You understand that? What a responsible task these elders to listen to what we say and to make sure that no error is coming in the doctrine, so that in truth that gospel may be preached, and so that it may be actually and indeed a key to the destitute and to the poor of that blessed kingdom of heaven. But also, what a responsibility to be sitting at that place where that door that is being opened and shut. What a responsibility to be sitting under those keys, that preaching of the word. What is then the only thing, congregation, that is standing in the way of a man entering in through that door? That is our enslaved will. We will continue to uphold ourselves. It is the rejection of our fall. It is the denial of our sin, our transgression, our corruption. It is our refusal to repent. Oh, how justly will man be condemned? Because we will not that he should reign over us. And how justly shall man be beaten with double stripes who have sat at the opening of that door their whole life long? Congregation, that door is still open. That door is open even for the chiefest of the sinners in this world. That is not our word, but it is the word of God. Whosoever will, let him take of that water of life freely. Oh, may that word of God become precious to us, while that door is not yet closed forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O give to us faithfulness, give to us wisdom, give to us thy Holy Spirit to use this key rightly. And may thou bless it also in the midst of us, that man may truly come to the acknowledgement of his guilt, of his sin, of his corruption, and that thy dear Son may become so necessary and precious. Lord, do it. Remember us. To whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Oh, could it please thee to use us then as a little instrument in thy holy fingers for this purpose, that thy name may be a beginning here and forever glorified. Look on us in the week to come. Be with those that mourn. Be with us when we must instruct in catechism classes. Remember us when we hope to be in thy house for a special service also in this week. Be with each of us in every aspect of our life, that we may indeed be a soldier, that we may leave off all that hinders us upon our journey, and that we may fight that battle against sin, that we may become so hopeless from our side that thou must deliver us. Forgive our iniquities for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Psalter 79, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My God, it was thy grace that did my strength supply. When thou didst hide thy face, sore troubled then was I. To thee I cried, O Lord, to thee I made my supplicating plea. 1 through 3 of Psalter 79. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.